Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Time now to bring in one of the best in the business, and that is the outstanding Jody McDonald. Jody Mac, how have you been, my friend?
SJ, how you been?
I'm doing great. Great, you?
Nice. Yeah, well, let's see. The Phillies going to the playoffs. The Eagles at 3-0. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for asking.
Really good. So I want to ask you about, I'm going to start with the Eagles, and that's, it seems like they're just in not spectacular fashion, but they're going about their business every week. How do you look at this football team that has been, I would say the word efficient to this point?
I would say they're in very good shape. When you haven't played your best football, and that's how you just described them, and I would agree with you, I don't think they've played anywhere near their best football. And you're 3-0, how does it get better than that? When you know there's room for improvement, where you know there's room for growth, where you've got veteran players who have had big seasons before who are a little slow getting out of the gate, you assume they're going to pick it up. You assume they're going to get to the back of their baseball card, football card. We're talking football here, so football card. You think they're going to get back to what they've usually given you. And the Eagles have a couple guys like that on the team. And, oh, by the way, you look up at the standings. Oh, they're 3-0, and there are only three teams in the whole National Football League have gotten to 3-0. So I think the Eagles are in a darn good place right now.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, they've just been going along and taking care of their business, and they're 3-0, which I want to get to the two kids up front, and that's the two Georgia kids, Carter and Davis. What kind of impact do you feel they've had now that you've had a chance to watch them in three games?
To use a word to describe it, scary. Scary for the rest of the National Football League that they have good as they've been for the first couple of games. The Eagles are getting good pressure on the quarterback. They're not getting as many sacks as they did last year, but Baker Mayfield had to make so many off-schedule plays the other night because he got forced from the pocket. About 80 to 90% of the time, that's coming right off the middle. The Eagles' edge players, which we know they have outstanding guys, just check the stat numbers from last year, Hassan Reddick, Brandon Graham. Oh, they're both off the slow starts. The only guy on the edge who's really producing is Josh Sweat. They're not getting anything from their other two guys or Derek Barnett. Not sure why he's still on the team. And Nolan Smith, while they're pushing the other young Georgia defensive lineman, they seem to be bringing him along slowly. Their edge guys aren't giving them a lot because they don't need to. Because between the two big dogs in the middle and Fletcher Cox, shoot, Milton Williams, Tui Polotu got a sack the other night. So they've got unbelievable depth, and it's all started by those two big former Georgia Bulldogs in the middle.
In fact, let's take that one step further, because if you were to ask Tom Brady what always bothered him pressure-wise, it was always up the middle in his face. And what's made Aaron Donald so great? He's always up the middle into your face. The Eagles have two guys like that right now, and three with Fletcher Cox, that makes them different than anybody else.
And you usually, it takes some time. There are always exceptions to every rule, but that's a position where you got to learn the ropes. You got to earn your respect. Yeah. It takes some time. Davis, of course, got hurt last year, which I think compromised the season. He had gotten off to a good start. Then he got hurt. The Eagles went out and got some veteran guys to fill in for him while he was gone, so he wasn't asked to play that much. So his stats weren't great, but he's the kind of guy who we were led to believe he's not going to get stats. He's going to get double blockers, and he's going to make it easier for everybody else. Well, now in year number two, he's actually getting the stats, too. He's getting the pressures. He's getting his hands on the quarterback. He's getting tackles. So he's stepped his game up, and then his teammate from Georgia comes in, and Carter is putting up numbers. And if you believe in Pro Football Focus, the ranking system and the way they watch the film and then grade it out, he's already one of the best defensive tackles in the game. In the game. And he's played all of three games. So those Georgia boys have just been dominant so far this year.
I want to ask you about Pro Football Focus. Look, you've done this a long time. You have a feel for it, all right? And that's one of those words that I know a lot of people in analytics don't like.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what you're seeing. Does Pro Football Focus just confirm what you're seeing, or is it something you find to be a useful tool?
Oh, I I have a love-hate relationship with Pro Football Focus. Sometimes their stuff matches exactly with, as you say, I see, I feel, and then other times I'm confounded by it. I'm going, that's just not what I'm seeing. I'm not sure how they're coming up with this. So I like Football Focus. I use Football Focus. I reference Football Focus. I don't swear by Football Focus. I don't say when Football Focus has a number that I don't necessarily agree with, oh, shoot, I must be wrong. No, I stand by what I see, and I stand by what I believe. But I do like the amount of work that they put into the way that they explain their breakdown. Sometimes agree, sometimes disagree.
Right, exactly. But see, you're somebody that knows what he's looking at. That's why when you're talking about it, I'll go with that every single time.
Appreciate that. I think here's an agreement across the board. The two big guys from Georgia are very good players.
Yeah.
I think so. Pro Football Focus thinks so. The three opposing teams, the Eagles of Beat, think so. I think we're all in agreement on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Jalen Hurts, what have you thought about him to this point?
He is one of those guys that I kind of referenced earlier. We know Jalen Hurts is better than he played the first three games, or at least off comparison to his MVP runner-up season last year. He'll get better. It's going to come around. There's probably a little bit of a transition period from Shane Steichen. They worked so well together last year. Know that he's the new offensive coordinator. He's known him since he's 4 years old. So we're supposed to believe they're just going to hit the ground running and be in perfect stride. Haven't been. The play calling hasn't necessarily matched up to Jalen's strengths or the new arrival that they got in DeAndre Swift. It'll come around. If you think Jalen Green, again, is playing to, what do you want to grade him, C-plus so far this season, you've got your quarterback playing C-plus football and you're 3-0. I'll sign on for that.
There'd be a lot of teams in this league that would love to have Jalen Hurts playing C-plus football for them. to be honest with you, can you? Josh Elliott's been there a long time, and everyone remembers beating the Giants on the 61-yard field goal years ago. What does his scoring range do for that offense and for how Nick Sirianni thinks?
It's a major plus because Jake is one of the best kickers in the league. I certainly agree with you on that. They would prefer to score touchdowns. That was one of the few things I held against them the other night against the Bucks. They came up short in the red zone a couple of times. If you get in the red zone, you want to put up 7. You don't want to put up 3. But it's very nice to know that you've got a guy like Jake Elliott in your back pocket. Now, the Eagles also like to go for it on 4th down a lot, which is going to take the kicker out of it. They did that in the first quarter and couldn't convert. So they go the length of the field and then come away with nothing. But that's a major plus for the Eagles, that when in doubt they've got Jake Elliott, and you know that his range is 50-plus, that gives you a lot of flexibility in play calling when you're out in the middle of the field.
I mean, let's face it, you get the ball to the 35-yard line, you feel you're going to get points. I mean, it just depends.
Minimum of 3. You're going for 7, but you know you're walking away with a minimum of 3.
Exactly. I have to ask you about the Phillies. They won in a walk-off. They've qualified for the playoffs. We know last year's team got to the World Series, but every team is different. What do you like about this team, and what are a couple of areas about this team that you'd have a concern about in the postseason?
And watching the celebration last night, which was a heck of a lot of fun, I loved what Rob Thompson said. And we're built for this, meaning the playoffs, that they've put this team together with the guys who were here last year, and there's a lot of carryover from last year's team that went to the World Series, but an addition like a Trey Turner, who has come up big for them. A guy like Hoffman, who they pick up off the scrap heap, and right now seems to me to be their most dependable pitcher. You get a guy like Castellanos, who I guess needed a learning year, an adjustment year in Philadelphia, but is playing like the $20 million player that they thought he was going to be. And then you add, which is probably the most rewarding thing, both Stott and Bohm taking big steps up this year. Homegrown guys. I love Schwarber. Everybody loves Schwarber. Castellanos having a phenomenal year. People only throw their arms around him about 90%. When you come through the system, when you've been a Philly for your entire professional life, it's just easier to root for guys like that. And they're both having phenomenal years this year. So, I think this is a better team than the one that went to the World Series. Now, it doesn't guarantee another World Series appearance, because I believe the Braves are a better team than they were last year, and the Phillies picked them off along the way. I'm very much looking forward to that series in the second round. Braves-Phillies is going to be must-watch TV.
How much has your respect level for Trey Turner grown? Because early in the year, he obviously was struggling. Now is not. What is it about him that you respect so much?
Because he didn't let it get to him.
Yes.
He was pretty damn level-headed the whole time. And we now all know the story of they gave him a standing ovation despite the struggling. And from that point on, he really has kicked it in. So he is the kind of guy that you need to pat on the back rather than kick in the rear end. But he could have been kicked in the rear end by his friend, by his family members, by Rob Thompson, by everybody else, because he was struggling pretty darn bad. You never saw it in his face. You never heard in what he said. You might have seen it in the field, and he really didn't have a good first half of the season. But the fact that he never showed the frustration told you that when he gets it going, he could get it going big time, and that's exactly what happened.
Jody, final question for you, and that deals with Rob Thompson. We know he stepped in last year for Joe Girardi, gets the club to the World Series. He's now had a full season under his belt. Where, even subtly, do you feel he's grown as a manager by having a full season?
Oh, this is probably the easiest question you ask me, because I know and like Rob Thompson a great deal. I root very hard for Rob Thompson. But my job, when I'm on at night on WIP after the game, we're analyzing what just happened. Oh, I'll second-guess Rob Thompson all the time. If he makes a move that I don't like, that I think was a mistake, I will call him on the carpet. And last year, when he took over heading to the World Series, I thought he was way too stringent with his lineup. He set the lineup. He liked the lineup. I believe he had put too much emphasis on continuity. And guys could be in funks, like a Rhys Hoskins, who is one of the most up-and-down players in all of baseball when he's actually out there playing. Never moved him down. Just kept him in that two-hole. And I thought, why drop him down, put somebody else up there, maybe it lights a fire under his butt. And Rob was the kind of manager who said, no, I like my lineup. I know my lineup. I want my lineup to achieve. This year he's been much more willing to move guys around. And when a guy is struggling, he'll drop him down. And Castellanos is a great example. When he's hot, he's become this year's Rhys Hoskins. When he's hot, he can carry the team by himself. When he's cold, look out below. It can get pretty darn bad. So he's moved Castellanos around a lot. He's moved Stott around. He's moved Bohm into the cleanup spot after he had him down in the bottom third all year long. I like the fact that he's shown the flexibility to let the players dictate as to where they should be in the lineup, and I think it's worked wonders for him this year.
You always do such great work. Always impressed. Thanks so much for everything, Jody. Great appreciation here.
Steve, as I always tell you, anytime you need me, all you got to do is call. I'm your guy.
Thanks, Jody.
You got it, bud.
The great Jody Mack. Jody McDonald from Philadelphia, from WIP. One of the real aces out there.